We often do not see the results of our pro-life work. On today's episode of Gospel of Life, we will. I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. In November of 1994, I was praying at an abortion facility in Orlando, Florida, together with a group of other pro-life activists. And there was a woman sitting in the waiting room of that abortion clinic. And when she looked out the window and saw us praying outside, she changed her mind about having that abortion. That young woman is with us today on our program, and later we are going to meet the child she was carrying that day in her womb. I'm joined by Helene Dennis from Orlando. Good to be with you again.
You too.
And of course with Janet Morana, our associate director.
Nice to be with you, Paul.
Helene, let's go back to that day when we first met, and tell us what your experience was, how you ended up in that abortion clinic.
Well, I was a single mom. I had my son Christopher, and I became pregnant with Lupe. And pretty much everybody, you know, friends, family of her biological father, told me that I couldn't have this baby, that there was no way I was a single mom already, and that it would make my life a lot harder to have two children and still be single. And they kept trying to convince me and eventually convinced me to go to the abortion clinic.
So it was not an idea that you came up with yourself?
Well, no, I didn't come up with the idea of going to the abortion clinic. That was his family and, of course, my friends at that time. They kept insisting. I was brought up Catholic my whole life, so I knew that it was wrong to do, you know, to do something like that. And being brought up in, you know, in a Catholic family with Catholic traditions and going to a Catholic school all my life. But at that point, I had not said anything to my family. So they were very pro-choice, and they felt that, you know, me having a baby at that time wasn't appropriate or good for me.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying basically is your family, like your mom and dad,
yes,
they didn't even know you were pregnant.
No.
But it's the biological father
family
that was pro-choice.
Yes.
Because I think if your mom and family known, they probably would have helped you, though, had they known.
I was scared.
You were afraid to tell them, which, you know, so many girls are in exactly in that position you were in. They're afraid to tell their parents.
They're afraid. They're afraid because, you know, you're in a situation where you have a child. I had a child myself. And then, you know, again, to have another child, to go through that same situation again, it was a lot to handle. And with them being in my life at that time, they were my major influence.
Meaning the biological father.
Yeah, the biological.
They were the ones who were pushing and impressing.
Yes,
you.
They kept insisting that there was nothing wrong with
having an
abortion. It was a woman's choice, and that this baby would wreck my life. That you know, that the baby would not be good for me. It would be a bad choice to have.
So you went into that abortion facility. What was it like when you went in?
Oh, it was sad. The atmosphere, as soon as you walk in, it's just full of sadness. Everybody was sad. Everybody that was there. I did not see not one person smile. It looked like, it didn't even look like a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk in, it's an office, and they take down your name. Then you walk in the back, and they do a blood test. They don't tell you anything. They pretty much tell you how much it is, and when you walk in the back, you'll see rows of chairs lined up where the women sit with their gowns waiting for the next person to come in.
So now, you didn't receive any counseling or any offer of,
they said they would.
But you didn't receive any?
None at all. They just wanted to know how, you know, if I had the money. Kept insisting, do you have the money? I said, yes, I do. And like I said, they took a little bit of blood. And
so you were waiting at that point, about to go into the procedure room when you looked out the window
Well, I was waiting to put on my robe, because what they do is they give you a robe, you know, the gown, and then you walk into the room where they have all the chairs.
Right.
And then you sit there and you wait for them to call you into the room to have the procedure done.
So that's the point at which you had arrived.
Yeah, I was at, I had went to the bathroom. I was very nervous.
Right.
Because I knew the whole time I was there, I had a sense, it's just a feeling in there. I mean, it's you can't explain it. It's just sad.
I shouldn't be doing this.
Yes,
this is wrong, but I feel forced anyway.
So at any moment, your name could have been called.
Yes.
And also, tell us what happened next then.
Well, they told me to go sit out in the lot, you know, like the waiting room. And I looked out the window, I just wanted to look out the window. I look out the window and I see you there. Like I said, with my upbringing, you know, when you see a priest, it's very respectful. You know, you have to be very respectful. And I knew, you know, I knew that was my sign. I knew that, you know, oh my God, these people out here praying. Yes, yes. And I said, well, let me go outside and smoke a cigarette. But that was my excuse to just go outside. And as soon as I went outside, you know, you came with open hands. And like I told you before, you saved me. You saved me and my child.
There were various people there that day, pro-life people. It wasn't a very large group, really. It was a small group of people. There were some sidewalk counselors. And there were some conversations between you and a number of us. Tell us how that made you feel.
It made me feel like I had hope. You know, before I went in there, I didn't have any hope. You know, with everybody saying that I couldn't have her and that my life would be terrible and that I wouldn't have a good life. You know, one of the things they said, well, she won't have a father. And, you know, when I came outside, you know, it was like, no, you do have hope. There's hope. You can do this. You can have this baby, and you can live a good life, and God would bless you, and things will be okay.
So they were there right there on the street then offering you, Helene, practical help. I think the pregnancy center said you'll come to the pregnancy center. Yes. And they helped you with the very worries and things of diapers and formula and kind of stuck with you during your whole pregnancy.
Well, there, they told my church, and then my church, they helped me find an apartment. The church donated a car to me. I mean, I got so much help, and not only, you know, the physical help. I mean, I got emotional help.
Right.
So it was the heart, the love that was there. And everybody just, you know, just had so much love, and they had so much love for this baby that I had my stomach that wasn't even born yet. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing.
So when was the baby born, and then what happened right after that?
Well, after I left the clinic, I always like to tell everybody this. I went to see the doctor, and they did a sonogram, and she was actually four months, and she was sucking her thumb in my stomach.
Aww.
So that to show you, and she still does. And she still sucks her thumb. She was born May 10th, 1995. And she's 6 pounds. She was a beautiful baby. She's been a beautiful baby. She grew up to be a beautiful young girl. She's 11 years old now.
And then you named her?
Oh, I named her Guadalupe, after the Virgin Mary Guadalupe. She's beautiful.
And I know we've been in your life, basically, because you invited Father Pavone to come back. And
he baptized her,
In front of a full church.
Yes.
That was a beautiful Sunday morning, and we had people in the church just were applauding and encouraging you for having the courage to say yes to life.
Yes. You know, you see what Helene said, though? You know, this is the part that people just don't get. She was frightened. She was scared.
Yes.
She had no hope.
And the people there,
listen to what they provided. They helped her get an apartment. They got her a car. All her worries, all her needs were just lifted up for her.
They gave her hope.
They gave her that hope, but a real hope. And then they were there for emotional support through the whole time.
Yes.
So,
and to this day.
To this day.
Well, I think our viewers by now want to meet Guadalupe. So why don't we take a little break? And when we come back from the break, brothers and sisters, you'll meet the little girl who was almost aborted. Stay with us.
I want to be a fireman when I grow up.
I want to be a teacher.
I want to be president of the United States.
cure for cancer.
The choice to have an abortion alters the course of the future. Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in Hanley, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Welcome back. I would now like to introduce you to Guadalupe Lovera, who was in her mother's womb in November of 1994. Helene, with whom we just spoke, was in that abortion clinic waiting room. She changed her mind. She walked outside and 6 months later gave birth to Guadalupe. Well, Guadalupe, welcome.
Thank you.
We just heard a powerful story from your mom, and of course you know that story now. What do you think?
Well, I think that I'm blessed. And because my mom didn't do it and she saw you out there, and she went out there and she didn't do it.
And all those other people that were praying out there were praying for you. And they were there for you. And how did you and mommy first talk about this when she was telling you what happened?
Well, I remember I was in school and somebody told me that my dad, well, I didn't know that he wasn't my biological father.
Right.
Somebody told me that he was, and I'm like, okay. So I went to my mom and I asked my mom, I said, Mom, is daddy my real father? And she said, well, see, you know, and then she told me about the story and stuff.
Yes.
But I didn't have no courage and feeling because I never knew my real father. He didn't take care of me. For all I know is that the father that I have right now is my real father.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I know, it's incredible.
I'm sure our viewers are very happy to see you right now because they also think of many other children that have been saved from abortion.
Yeah, Guadalupe, I heard that you now have had the courage, you know, because so many girls out there find out they're pregnant and they're not married and they're afraid and they go to an abortion clinic, right? Or they think about having an abortion. And I heard you recently heard of a neighbor or friend or somebody who was pregnant and quite pregnant and several months pregnant and was considering abortion. You want to tell us what you did?
Well, I told her because I'm like, you know, everybody knows me on the block. So I told her, you know, why'd you have an abortion? And she already had kids, and the kids were looking forward to have another brother or sister or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I said, why would you have a baby? Why would you get an abortion with the baby? Because, you know, it's, even if it doesn't have hands or a foot or anything, it's still a baby. And I told her not to, because if my mom would have had an abortion right with me, then I wouldn't be here, and my dad wouldn't be with my mom. So, you know, that's what I told her and stuff.
And what did she decide to do?
She didn't have it. Now the baby is, I think, not sure how many months.
So the baby was born safely. Isn't that great?
Thanks. So now you were saved by Father Pavone and the people that were out on the sidewalk, and now this little baby is saved because of Guadalupe. So the good pro-life work is continuing, isn't it?
Let's talk a little bit more about the meaning of your name. How did you choose Guadalupe?
Well, because they was praying to the Virgin of Guadalupe outside. You all were. And I figured, you saved my life in lupus. So I named her after.
Yes,
so
and she
her name reflects her story.
Yes, because in that image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, she is pregnant.
Yes.
And so she is the patroness of the unborn and of the pro-life movement. And that's very, very appropriate. Yes.
You know, so many people are afraid to come out in front of an abortion clinic and join these sidewalk councils and pray. They think that, oh, the women going in, that this will not have an effect. It's not successful. What did you think when you were first approaching the clinic and you saw the people out there before going in? Did you see them before going in? And
I saw a glimpse of the people that was, pro-life, but pro-choice, They had us escort us through the back entrance.
Oh, so they were
afraid that the pro-life would influence us, so they made us go through the back.
I see. So,
I didn't even get a chance to, I didn't get a chance to see the pro-lifers.
See, they knew.
Yeah, they
knew.
And
they're right that it has an influence, as evidenced by what you did.
It does. Yeah. Nobody wants to be there.
Yeah.
While I was there, everybody was sad. It was not a happy face.
You know, I'd like you, Helene, and then Guadalupe, to speak directly to our viewers and to give a message to them and to say to them what you are feeling, what you would like them to know, what you would like them to be encouraged about. So I'd like you to look right into that camera over there and just speak from your heart.
To all those women out there that are thinking about having an abortion, you don't have to do it. There's people out there that want to help you have your baby. And to the pro-lifers out there praying in front of those clinics, what you're doing is working. Go out there, pray, encourage these women to leave those clinics and have their babies.
Thank you. And Guadalupe, why don't you speak directly to our audience?
I want to say thank you, everybody who helped my mom not have an abortion with me, because, you know, I love being here, love having brothers and stuff, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing your experience and your testimony. Now, tell us what you want to be when you get bigger.
I want to be a doctor.
And what would you like to do as a doctor?
Help babies, you know.
Wow. So you're going to have to go to a lot of school, but you do well in school, don't you?
Yeah.
What's your favorite subject?
My favorite subject would be math.
Oh, that was one. That was my favorite subject, too, in school. Math and algebra, calculus, geometry, trigonometry. Well, that's great. You know, there are many survivors, and we want to encourage people on this program who have a story like this, whose children were saved by abortion. Because over the decades, you know, the pro-life movement has turned away so many women from the abortion facilities. And we want to encourage them to do, Helene, what you have done, and that is to come forward and to share, to let us know the influence that has occurred in their lives. Because some of them have turned away from the abortion clinics, and we didn't even see them that day, you know, and they went off and they had their babies. But it's time now to come forward and to share this good news. And we want to invite the survivors, those that know that they were saved from abortion, that they were almost aborted. We want them to come forward and to speak up, too, because your voices and your faces are encouraging to everybody in this movement. So now you're going to continue helping out the pro-life movement, aren't you? What kind of things would you like to do?
Well, I want to encourage these women not to walk into that clinic. I want them to know that there is hope out there, that, you know, this baby that they're carrying is not going to ruin their lives, that it's going to add to their life like Lupe did to mine. Mm-hmm. If I wouldn't have had Lupe, I would not have a little girl. I would have all boys. So I am so glad that I had Lupe. She has been wonderful.
Well, we're going to have you, we're going to give you opportunities to speak to people in different parts of the country and on other television and radio shows. Yeah. So thank you both for coming on board and encouraging our viewers. And thanks, Janet, also. Well, brothers and sisters, as I said at the beginning of this show, sometimes we do see the results of our pro-life work. And the saving of Guadalupe was not something that I as an individual or any one person was able to accomplish. It's all of us working together at every stage of the pro-life effort to bring about the protection of these innocent children. Let's keep doing it together. And now stay with us. After this break will be our action segment.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I worried about staying in school. I was already struggling to care for one child.
My parents told me I wasn't ready to be a mom, so I had an abortion.
I had physical problems afterwards.
I went from relationship to relationship.
I hated myself. I started to have nightmares.
I cried when I saw a pregnant woman.
I tried to commit suicide.
Couldn't bond with the child I later had.
I tried to numb my pain with alcohol.
I struggled with depression.
I had trouble conceiving again.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
Each of us thought we were the only ones struggling afterward.
Now we realize many women regret their choice.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Welcome to our action segment, where I'm joined by Janet Moran, our associate director, and we have a special painting to tell you about today that you can promote in order to spread the pro-life message. Janet?
Yes, the painting is called Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. And this painting was done by the artist Carol Hall, and she actually is an evangelical missionary, and her husband currently are in Japan, where they're doing bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to missionaries as a missionary spirit in Japan. But she painted this painting a number of years ago, made it available to us at Gospel of Life, and we've now created a great poster of this painting. And her hope is that it will help spread the message of the damage abortion is doing, the killing of the children. And we'd like to encourage people now to take a look at this poster. And as we're describing it, I'd like them to think of ways and places that they might hang this inspiring painting and really get people to think about the abortion issue and what is going on.
Basically, the photo is divided into two scenes, Earth's scene on the bottom and Heaven's scene on the top. Earth's trash, heaven's treasure, refers to babies. And you see at the bottom a garbage bin where outside of an abortion mill where babies who have been aborted are literally thrown away. And we know that this has literally happens. The babies thrown away on Earth are nevertheless received by Jesus, named and welcomed into the playground and the nursery of heaven.
And that's what you see there, you know, in the painting, is that the angels are taking the babies out of the dumpster, basically, and bringing them up to the Lord Jesus, wrapped in a yellow blanket, signifying God's glory. And there's the Lord there welcoming the babies into heaven.
Now, besides that contrast between earth and heaven, you also see another contrast right within the scene on earth. Because while the abortion mill is a place of sadness, and you see that the girl who's leaving has sadness on her face, and we've talked very often on Gospel of Life about the sadness that abortion brings, nevertheless, next to, across rather, from the abortuary is a toy store full of life and joy and surprises. And in front of the toy store, you see a green tree blossoming. But on the other hand, the tree in front of the abortuary has no leaves on it and no life.
Right. And then, of course, you know, as the Lord Jesus is accepting the babies up into heaven from the angels, he's giving them each a name and blessing them. And while those children had no name on earth, they now have a name with the Lord in heaven.
Now, how can people use a beautiful painting like this?
Well, you know, so often people say, well, you know, we don't want to have a pro-life billboard here in our church, or we don't want to have a poster in a school. It might upset people. But this painting is so pleasing to the eye, so beautiful to behold, yet it gives such a powerful imagery that they can put this in their church vestibule, in their school hall, in their center where they have a collation after services, as many places as they can think of. This this poster can hang, and there, just people gazing upon it itself, it will get the message across about what abortion is doing to these children.
If they contact us directly at gospeloflife.com, we can send this to them in any quantity that they wish.
That's right. And at the same time, getting that poster from us at the same time helps support the missionary work of the Evangelical Church in Japan, Carol Hall. We still, you know, make a little small donation to her, too. And so, therefore, they're actually supporting missionary work in Japan at the same time, plus giving a pro-life message.
The painting can be viewed more extensively, and the written explanation that we've just briefly touched upon can be read in its fullness on our website, again, gospeloflife.com.
That's right.
Well, thanks, Janet, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. If you want to listen to our programs online, you can receive the audio of Gospel of Life on gospeloflife.com. And also, when you go to our website, you'll see that you can send us your questions, your comments, your suggestions, your witnesses and testimonies, and we may well call you back and have you as a call-in guest on our program. Go to gospeloflife.com, and you'll see how to reach us. Also, brothers and sisters, we rely on the financial help of people just like you to get these programs out, to assist spreading pro-life literature to the churches, beautiful paintings like the one we've described to you today, and many other works that are saving lives from the tragedy of abortion. So consider Gospel of Life Ministries as part of your giving for the kingdom of God. We thank our friends at Life Dynamics for letting us use their studios here in Denton, Texas, and we invite you to join us again next week on Gospel of Life. Spread the word to your family and friends, and let's pray for one another.
I want to be a teacher.
I want to be president of the United States.
I want to find a cure for cancer.
The choice to have an abortion alters the course of the future. Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
It's positive. I'm pregnant.
My boyfriend panicked, and I was worried what my family would say.
I just didn't know what to do.
If you're facing an unplanned pregnancy, you have options. You don't have to be alone. Call 1-800-395-HELP. Our services are totally confidential and free. If you're pregnant, call now. There is help.
Friends, as we conclude our program, may I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell other people about Gospel of Life. Tell them when these programs air so that they can tune in and learn more about the pro-life movement. Secondly, we like to hear from you. On our website, gospeloflife.com, you can even send us your prayer requests, and our entire ministry team will be more than happy to lift up your concerns and intentions before the throne of God. Thirdly, we're eager and ready to come to your community, to preach in your churches, to gather with your pro-life groups, and to help inspire you in the pro-life cause. And finally, we ask you to donate so that we can keep these programs on the air. You can send your tax-deductible contributions to us at Gospel of Life Ministries. Again, go to our website, and thank you.